Welcome back and happy Hundo Burger to everybody tuning into your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, here as always, and I am joined by my two wonderful co-hosts who have stuck around long enough to see the Hundo Burger dawn in front of us. 100 episodes on the podcast, it's absolutely wild. If you've listened to every single one, I'm sorry, or you're welcome, but honestly, a big thank you more than anything to all of you. But I gotta see how my two co-hosts are doing. Bridget, how have you been?
I'm good. Happy Hundo Burger anniversary, everyone.
Oh, thank
Truly
you.
Truly a monumental day.
We're workshopping the title and the greetings for sure. That'll all get worked out. But yeah, happy Hundoversary is pretty good too.
Oh, yeah. Happy
Hundoversary is solid.
You and yours. But yeah, I've been good. I'm chilling. Honestly, I haven't been playing much Unite.
Okay. But that's all right. What have you been gaming then?
I've been playing a lot of Sims.
Heck yeah. I don't know why I asked. We all knew it was Sims.
It shows up pretty big on Discord. I have to go invisible now because I'm like, this is embarrassing.
Oh, I'm sad because it is just always a small part of my heart that's like, oh, Bridget's happy right now. When I go on Discord and I just see my friends and it's always Bridget on Sims 4 and like, she's doing pretty good. That's good.
So, we're up. We're so up.
All right. Well, good to hear that it's still happening regardless. Doomsnacks, how about you? How have you been over the last couple weeks?
Doing good. I have gotten to play a decent amount. Pretty excited. I'm like just a shade under 1400. Been stacking a lot, having a good time. Love having ranked in draft mode as soon as you hit 1200.
Yeah.
It's been a ton of fun. I'm still getting giga griefed by really good players whenever I play Sableye games, which is a bummer.
Call them out, say the names. I don't know.
Every single one. Check my recent teammates, all of them.
Behind me.
Yeah.
Doomsnacks is coming for everybody. I keep losing. Surely it's all
like, I just want this Sableye win rate to be over 50%. Like, that's my goal. And I am currently one game over 50% on my Sableye. So I guess I could shelve it, but now we just gotta start climbing the percentage points. It's actually wild. I've won more games when I've played worse as Sableye than when I've played very solid. So like when we're up by a trillion points, people just play out of their gourd stupid. It's just like, you know what? I can. And then it's like, I was like, oh, we're destroying them. We're up by 300. It's like, yeah, so like don't be there, right? Like don't do that. That's the whole point. So that's been a unique experience. But yeah, playing's fun, tournaments have been fun, regionals coming up is gonna be exciting. Hundo Burger episode, obviously super exciting.
Happy Hundo Burger
stuff. Mm-hmm. Happy Hundo Burger. Mm-hmm. It's great. I'm excited. I'm super gassed that we're here and we're able to do this, and it's going to be, sorry, Chef, like a 4-hour episode. So
it's going to be that for a few reasons, by the way. Yeah. Also, no free shout outs to Chef. As long as it's an anti shout out, it's totally fine. Y'all. Oh my gosh. I have to let you all know, by the way, you know how we did that bit at the start of the episode, but unfortunately Chef was sick and couldn't make the broadcast for April Cup finals. But you know how we made the bit about how he drew too many Gyarados on stream and that's why he couldn't make it. My mother asked me if that was true. She was like, did they really kick him off because he drew a Gyarados like that? And I thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
Mom, two.
Not one! Yeah,
multiple.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, it's the best thing that ever happened on a broadcast. Full stop. Oh my word. Anyway, y'all, it has been quite a bit of time since we have been on the podcast. It was pre-April Cup finals before we had an episode. So we did a lot of predictions then. I don't think we've ever kept ourselves honest in any of the predictions, ever. I don't know if we've ever went back and been like, oh, who actually won the most or whatever. I don't know. One day we'll have to do that. Maybe at the end of the competitive season, I'll do like a full statistics page or something, and we'll get the spreadsheets out.
Poker to do like a graphic.
that would be really sick, funny. Actually. I love that. Okay, maybe. We'll talk. We'll talk. Happy Hundo Burger. But today's episode, of course, will include some April Cup finals recap. Well, there's a ton of Unite news as well. We talked a lot about the patch, but we've had Phalanx release into the game. We've had news about the next EX Pokemon being introduced into the game. And of course, this weekend are literally the regional qualifiers, the start of the end of the season for so many regions. Of course, North America has a bit of an extension with the NAIC in person for their top eight, but still, there is a lot to talk about on this episode. But it's not just topics. We also have some really exciting news on the podcast. We are going to be giving away 6 Phalanx licenses. That's more than you can count on one hand, unless you have another finger. I really should think about the other finger community. But of course, 6 Phalanx licenses we are giving away on the podcast, as well as a very special prize at the end of the episode. We will be giving away one of these very cool Hundo Burger t-shirts. Happy Hundo Burger to you all. We'll be giving away one of those at the end of the episode. So, and like literally, we're not making these again. They are sold out. Like, this is one of the last chances you will possibly have to get your hands on this shirt. So get in there. But if you're listening to this in the future in podcast land or YouTube land, make sure to go over to YouTube, leave a comment. We'll be giving away a few Phalanx licenses to people who are commenting on the video as well, saying what your favorite part of the Unite Championship Series is, or competitive Pokemon Unite in general. We'll do another call to action to that near the end of the episode. But all that being said, I think we should start off and give one of these Phalanx licenses away, y'all. But what do you think?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. That's some good happy Hundo Burger energy. Now, instead of doing how we normally do giveaways on this channel with just a simple raffle, where's the fun in that? I called this episode potentially a carnival last time we recorded, I think. That idea sort of still exists, and
it turned more into like one of those parking lot fairs.
Yeah, like out of the back of a truck.
Uh huh. And I'm like in clown makeup, but not costume. Yeah, it's a little iffy.
Yeah,
but we are gonna
like
be...
you can go down a slide in a potato sack. Like we've got that.
Okay. This is good. Oh, man. This podcast is great for my confidence. No, that guy, we are not 1v1ing for Phalanx codes. However, it does sound super fun. We're having tryouts. No, instead, we are going to be doing Unite Mike's Trivia throughout the evening. If you can answer these questions correctly, we will be giving away the Phalanx code. First person to get the answer correct in chat will win it. If there's a few people, I'll throw it in at the same time, or if you're close, we will be pretty generous with these. We are giving away 6 of these codes. So we're going to bring it up on screen right now. So as soon as you see it, you can feel free to start typing in your answers. I'll read it off right now as well. What other podcasts have been on the Unite Mike's channel? Big root. Oh, snap. Typing my Achilles heel. Also, very funny, just an interesting hint or a note. Both of these podcasts were hosted by Dubesnacks. Not the Final Stretch. That's a different Unite podcast, but it's really good. You're on Fire is not on the Unite Mike's channel. Not on the Unite Mike's channel. It's on Spraggle's channel. Both great podcasts, though, if you're interested in others. But there are
Do yourself
two
a favor.
Others.
Just pull up our YouTube channel. And
That'd be a great way to find it. Both of these have been hosted by Dupesnacks. And when Dupesnacks joined the call today, said that he literally wouldn't have been able to answer it. That's one of them. That guy answers Late Night Unite is one of the podcasts.
That should be the winner, right? Like at least it's one. Because
yeah, it is true.
At least it's one.
Beamer Overdunked is this podcast that you're listening to now, which is a good shout. I'll give it to you.
That guy wins.
All right. Wrong.
That guy, we will award you the victory here. It is in fact Late Night Unite and the Inside Experience Share was the other answer we were looking for. But that guy, we'll make sure that you get a hold of your license. Bridget, you want to take a tally of who the winners are and we'll figure it out later?
Yep.
Sweet. Thank you very much. All right. I needed an applause sound. April, that's so good. I can't believe I didn't do it. Okay.
We have like the Discord soundboards we can hit, right?
Well, you certainly are, but that is a can of worms. I don't know if we're
him.
Ready to.
You are not him. You are not
the
him.
Opposite. I'm going to call you a monster.
I was trying to get flowers.
Okay. Yeah, these are terrible.
Okay, so we're not going to use them. This podcast is already off to an incredible start. This is going to be awesome. Okay, well, here we go. The first topic that we wanted to talk about on tonight's episode, of course, is the April Cup Finals that did happen, I think like 2 weeks ago now. I'm losing track of time at this point. The final mid-season tournament for the Unite Championship Series. We awarded some new winners for both EU and North America, and surprisingly some other regions. Fusion still won, of course, whatever. But we had DreamMax win in Brazil, so a new winner out of the Brazil region. We had I don't think Greater Zenith won in OC. I think we had a winner in OC emerge as well. I think we should fact check on myself on that one. we had that there. And I believe Latin America North was a, I'm trying to remember their winner as well, but I believe it might have been E7. So very, very cool stuff.
I think Antic won maybe in OC.
Wait, hold on. DreamMax won March 2. I see. Okay. That's where we're going. That's right. DreamMax back-to-back. That's right. But Legacy got third. That was the big surprise I'm thinking of in Brazil. But either way, a lot of crazy stuff going on between the regions. Some new winners, some new people emerging. But it's pretty cool. What's going on, Machizel?
Good to see you. Who's in here?
Speaking of winners, let's talk about NA first, if Machizel's in here. North America having a new winner and a brand new team. Obviously, that was kind of the story behind this tournament, April Cup, was all the rosters changing around. Of course, it's going to happen. It's the last tournament, really, before you kind of got to lock in for regionals. You want to build some kind of synergy. You do that in the first tournament, and then you show your best for the next one. Orange Team having a phenomenal showing, really playing out of their mind. Very cool to see this team doing so well, and North America took first place. Bridget, were you able to catch much of the North America event? I know it was forever ago at this point in time.
it really does feel like forever ago.
I know.
I was watching it though. Yeah, the plot lines. Oh, I remember. I was at a wedding. I was like, "What was I doing?" I was
always
shocking. No one is surprised. But I was able to catch a little bit more of NA and EU, like, the next day. I tried to at least watch some of Grands. It was a long Grands.
Right.
But it was really hype. It was really fun. I liked getting to see all the new, at least the new Luminosity and Orange Team. It was super, super hype. And even to kind of seeing the new teams come together in EU. But I guess we'll circle back to EU.
Yeah, we had some of that, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dupes next. How about you? Any big surprises or cool stuff out of North America from the April Cup?
I mean, Orange Team winning was the coolest thing that could happen, right? It's like a very fun story. Nice kind of, I like to say, you know, the team with the chip on their shoulder going on the revenge arc, right? They kind of got, they were treated as the spare parts, right? The unwanted components of these machines, right? And they were kind of stripped for all those parts. And the remaining got together and ended up winning. I think that's really cool. So
yeah.
I think Orange Team winning was super exciting. Mm-hmm. But it also added a very interesting kind of race to the NA scene in general, just in terms of championship points. So now, like, everything feels like a scramble. Everything feels important. And from a caster perspective, from a viewer perspective, that's exactly what you want for entertainment value going into, you know, the final throws and quite literally the final stretch.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be really interesting. Like, Orange Team is cool because now we have, I believe it's Machizel, Kratos, and Roland are the only players in North America to have won two tournaments, I believe. Out of North America. So we had Nemesis as a winner. They are looking extremely good. I think NA three slots are almost locked in. Yeah, I mean, Luminosity, Orange, and Nemesis are all extremely, extremely comfortable with their championship points total, but looking really, really strong. I mean, a lot of people had big expectations of Luminosity. I think myself included. I put them pretty high on the power rankings. Definitely slept on Orange Team harder than I should have when I was making that list. But listen, it's global, and that's, like, just so not fair to me, and I want to make sure I keep reiterating that point as much as I can. Orange Team coming out on top is very, very cool. Cool to see Zugrug take down their old team a little bit. It's tough to call his old team LG at this point. Those rosters are so different, but you know, it's got that franchise flag on it. Still feels good to take him down.
I mean, but like Lutano was on that side, right?
That's true.
Those are two players scrapping. Mm-hmm. Of course, Orange Team was made up of a lot of the alter ego folks, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a big plot point there. And if we're just talking about it, the grand finals in general, I think the best draft that anyone really had, like that was like hyper exposed LG, was actually game one of Nemesis. Where was it? Was it Orange Team? Who was it?
Well, LG.
Oh no, it was Luminosity versus Orange Team in the first draft.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm scrambling my brain. I'll look this up because it was the best draft of the day, I think, where it was just like the biggest gap that I saw. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about that because I thought it was awesome. So okay. somebody else say some shit.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I think that the tournament overall was really cool. It was tough to see from Nemesis. I mean, they had some tough opponents. I feel like Nemesis still really proved that they are the top three team in this event. Mm-hmm. I mean, you lose to Orange Team and Luminosity, you finish third, but I do think that they're not losing to Exile or YouTube or anybody at this point in time, but it was tough to see Nemesis falter a little bit in these final moments. It's going to make regionals really, really interesting to see who can win that championship. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about championships and qualification. We've already talked a little bit about how the championship points are going to work. I mean, we had chat mentioned it a bit, but the top three teams in North America are feeling pretty good about their placement. There shouldn't be too many teams that get really pushed up to knock them out of that point. However, you got to remember, regional winner gets the travel award. Top championship point earner gets the travel award. The other teams do not. So the second place championship points will not earn it, and the final stretch winner will also not earn a travel award. So there still is things to be competing over that these teams want to be fighting for. And as well, as we have Gamma saying in chat, it's actually a little closer than I think we're even letting on. Last thing I want to say about this tournament was just a little bit of news we actually got about NAIC and the final stretch of the Open Tournament. We haven't talked about it too much yet, but I did want to bring it up before, just at least so we could talk about it, is that the final stretch official rules have finally come out. I don't know if it's a rule change necessarily, but it is an adaptation to the schedule. Final stretch will remain as a Open Tournament. However, it will not be Swiss like it was at EUIC. Instead, it'll be a double elimination bracket, so something more akin to a classic fighting game Open Tournament, or just honestly our online tournaments, but just at an in-person event. And the teams there will be competing for the top three spots in that event. Any team who plays in the Open will try to compete for the top three. The teams that will make it into that top three will then have to face the five teams from the top eight who make it to regionals from North America, who get like, you know, paid off to go to NAIC. The five teams that will not be attending Worlds are then moved into the bracket, in the top eight bracket, for the final stretch. And those teams will then compete for one spot at Worlds. So a true LCQ, however, the team from the top eight of NAIC, the five teams, do get a head start because they immediately get moved to essentially a top eight position. Mm-hmm. This is interesting. I mean, obviously, it is a giant gift presented to North America with a pretty bow on it and lots of sparkles. Like, this is... NA is being blessed by this decision. I think it was Jake was saying that was like, we were talking just in person, Deuce Snacks, you and he referred it to as, we are getting a Japan with this with this moment, is what it feels like. And I feel like we have to agree, it is a pretty big shift. It does a couple of things before we get an open discussion, just to kind of round it up. Yes, is it unfair to the teams who have to travel for the final stretch? It kind of depends on your definition. The biggest thing it is answering, though, is teams who are probably ranked at 7-5 in that range going into the top eight, who are quite confident that they won't be able to catch up in championship points, and they don't believe they have the ability to win the tournament, that instead they would forfeit the prize money to instead play in the final stretch, thinking they have a better chance to make it for Worlds there. This answers that in an incredible way and instead gives you two chances for Worlds. So this is a very much a let's reward the top players in this scene. That is the biggest change. It is not rewarding teams who want to travel and go there for the final stretch. That kind of depends what you think about the final stretch in total. I don't know. I've talked for so long now. I want to get your two opinions on it. Deucenex, why don't you speak first?
Yeah, it was definitely a gift. It's definitely a Japan. I think it quells a lot of the competitive complaints from those top teams. Mm-hmm. The final stretch is pretty limited, so I don't think you're like giving up air quotes equity to by kind of express laning the five teams. Obviously, there's plenty of complaints, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to get that either way. There's plenty of complaints before. There's plenty of complaints now. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been getting messages from multiple different teams saying they weren't able to sign up. This is unfair.
Right.
And it's like, well, unfortunately, this is literally this is the same for every Pokemon title, right? At NEIC.
Oh, yeah.
We're not uniquely different in that sense. Mm-hmm. I think it's overall a good thing. I am less excited about it than most because I kind of just am in the, if you're the best team in NA or want to prove yourself on the world stage, you can't cheapen your way in by trying to slither your way into the easiest way to qualify. Like, you're going to have to win big in some form or fashion. Yeah. So this gives two bites of the apple at those top teams again, that most likely have grinded all season long. And I think that's a good tip of the cap. Okay. That being said, win your games. That's all I'm going to say about that. And it should be exciting. And it's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day for those top 8 teams. It's going to be a long day for those final players. It's going to be an absolute marathon. So, you know, get good rest, stay hydrated.
Bring snacks.
Bring your snacks. I don't think you're going to be able to make it 13 hours a Unite on a couple convention center hot dogs. So
exactly. Yeah, but Bridget, I want to get to you in a second, but just like, so we are so clear, a lot of teams at EUIC, I don't think expected how long it would be and how big of a day it is. That excuse is gone now. We have seen the events happen. Like, please be ready to take care of yourself and be locked in for a marathon, because it'll be a lot, and it's not best of one. As far as we know, maybe Gamma can confirm that, yes or no. I don't believe final stretch double elimination bracket is best of one. But we would have to get official confirmation on that. But Bridget, what do you think about the changes to the final stretch? It is BO3. Okay, great. But Bridget, go ahead.
Sorry if I'm sounding laggy. I just lagged. Anyway, I think it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I guess I was a little bummed that they're not doing Swiss, although I think logistically it probably is a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Are you playing the event, by the way?
No.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to get a team together, and then signups kind of snuck up fast, and I was and it seemed very intense, and I was like, I'm not that serious about this. So
fair, yeah.
Let other people be sued. And I feel like
the chances of someone needing a sub or something day of, I don't know if it's like allowed or whatever, but like, I would just say, if you're a body in that room that can play Unite, there's a chance you get asked. That's all I'm saying. But anyway,
I'm down.
Continue.
I'm just saying, I'm down.
Yeah.
If you need a guy,
all right,
I'm there. Because I really enjoyed watching and like paying attention to the results of Swiss for EUIC. I liked that format for Unite, but I know a lot of people were like, why is it taking so long?
Right.
It's only best of ones. So I don't really know if this will be faster necessarily. I guess so, because you'll have people getting out faster.
Yes.
You know, you lose twice and you're gonzo.
Depends how many games they can have running at once, though, right? Like, there is going to have to be 16 matches played in round one, and then theoretically 16 matches played in round two, as in winners round two and losers round one will have to... It's gonna be a very slow beginning, but yes, it will speed up or whatever as it moves on, but we'll see.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So maybe... I wonder... I think at and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, they had like 5 stations set up. Seven.
Yes.
4. Just,
oh, well, Sagama's saying 6. Yeah, I think that 7, Deus Ex, we were told 7. I'm pretty sure that when we were told that, that was including the stage. Oh, the 7th didn't work. Okay, great. They had 6 working. 6 working, they had planned for 6.
So 7 in theory, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think they need 10. I think they need 8. Minimum 8, preferably 10. To really hammer through this, and they need two people for each setup, like for each setup of 10. Right, yeah. So one
Even
person is troubleshooting
per
each
station. Yeah, I don't know.
So it needs to be 2. It really needs to be 2. I know. Whatever we had at EUIC was not enough. I think that was evident. I could have told you that before the day started if they were like, yeah, we have this many people. Because I remember like hearing that and I was like, that's not enough. Like, well, no, it should be fine. I was like, I'm not even close. What are you talking about?
You remember how our game sometimes doesn't work? And when I say sometimes, it's kind of generous.
If they need a guy, I'm going to be there.
Yes, let's go, Bridget.
I know nothing, but I'll be there.
Tech team Bridget in there?
Yeah.
We'll give you like a geek squad polo?
Yeah. I was thinking Pokemon Professor Lab Coat. One of the two. It'll be fine.
I'm ready. I'm ready for anything.
Anyways, that's just my opinion throwing it out there.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. And it also makes sense. Unite's not done any kind of tournament like this before, and although Pokemon has obviously had in-person events for so long, Unite is definitely very different than it doesn't really matter as much if you lag in VGC. Well, you guys,
Worlds last year, I think the top 16 competitors would have something to say about that, but that is
okay. Don't cover me. I don't know anything.
We were out one night in Japan, and I was there with Necra or Rose, a VGC caster, and I was like, hey, all I'm gonna say, feels pretty good to not be the most buggy game at Worlds. And she gave me a very mean look, but it was deserved. It was a good joke, though. But I'll live on.
That's a different problem.
Exactly. Way different.
No, totally different. So it makes sense. There's growing pains. So I am glad they're, you know, I guess trying to improve the experience for everyone. So
yeah.
I'm excited to like see it all in person and take it all in. So, and yeah, hopefully they are able to get at least 7 this time. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is, but
yeah, I think like say what you will about the Unite Championship Series, and that's what this platform is for. We do quite a bit.
Right.
Happy Hundo Burger. But we like the series has been incredible at adapting. Right? Like, it has, the Unite Championship Series format has looked different every year because it's always trying to improve. It's either trying to get bigger and better to be more of a spectacle and more esports focused or better for that, or it's trying to improve for the player's benefit. Like, this change for NAIC is a huge change for the player's benefit, like, in the competitive angle of it. You know what I mean? So, they're always trying to improve, but obviously, it's, you can only push a Titanic-sized boat so far at one time. So, they're improving, and I definitely think NAIC in-person event will look and feel better than the EUIC one did, and already I think that one was a success. So,
just real quick, another thing that's going to be easier at NAIC is language barriers. There's just naturally way more NA teams that have signed up than most other, whereas it was a truly diverse from all over the world cast of teams at EUIC. Mm-hmm. So I think... not that it's going to be the key component as to why things will be faster, but it is a smaller hurdle to overcome this time around as well.
Yeah. I feel like we were like kind of joking. We're like, they did not think a Peruvian team was gonna like need to be interviewed even like this much on stage.
But... yeah. They're just too good.
Peruvian dialect.
Gamma saying in our chat they haven't heard of a single EU or LATAM team being able to sign up. That's crazy. I know a couple tried to sign up. Here's the thing. I wonder what will happen after this weekend, because I'm pretty sure, like, I've seen a few teams signed up for the final stretch where I'm like, I'm pretty confident you'll make it to top 8. Like, yeah, there's a few teams, so that. I wonder if there'll be openings because of that. There definitely is teams, so I am very interested if they'll reopen slots or what will happen with that. But all I can just hope is that that happens quickly. You know, that the, like, Arcanine or, like, Pokemon or Eastman, whoever's running that sign-up process is like, okay, they're in, let's make sure, like, we bump them, we open up the floodgates at whatever time, it's announced at when that happens, so that teams just have a fighting chance at playing and having another Worlds qualification spot. Because after that same time that those teams will be removed, teams will know if they have qualified for Worlds or not. So.
Yeah, right. True. Like, I don't know if they, like, need it.
Right, like what happens, what's a team that, I don't think it's a single region with one slot, right? Well, some of the, wow, Asia, I mean, like, because of their strange setup, which I don't think we've talked about on the podcast at all, by the way, is the Asian qualifiers, especially for APAC. It's, like, subdivided way more now. Like, Thailand has a slot, Indonesia has a slot, and then, right. But when they're going to be qualified for Worlds, they're just going to be going under APAC. It's really, really interesting. Remind me for a future episode that we talk about that, because that is interesting, too. We get to that moment. But okay, we talked a lot about NAIC and the final stretch and what that's going to look like, but I think it's really good. It was a big talking point that we missed. So I'm glad we hit that. But I think it's time we give another Phalanx license code away. We got 6 of these. We really got to start. This is going to be one of our longest episodes. Happy Hundo Burger. All right. Let me get it ready so we can see. So chat, reminder, you can win a Phalanx license if you respond to the, to this trivia question, this Unite Mics related trivia question. We're going to be bringing it up on screen. As soon as you see it on screen, feel free to answer. I will read it aloud, though. And if you've won, that guy, I just request that you just give it a minute or two before you jump in and answer if you've already got one correct. I don't know if we'll make a hard and fast rule, but chat, here we go. Let's bring it over. What Super Smash Brothers player did Dubsnax cast ranked games over in the early days of Pokemon Unite? I don't know if it was that early. It was like first year.
I was kind of like halfway through. I just saw them streaming one day, and I was like, why are they in that category? So I clicked on them. Dextro! There you go. Dextrodome gets it. It was Mango.
Did. Yeah, Abina, we did not do D1. It was, in fact, C9 Mango, the absolute goat of Melee. So they are winning. So, Bridget, if you could please write Dextro down as a Phalanx code winner. And we'll get them that code in the near future. But well done. Yeah, that was a really cool, like I said, still one of our best performing YouTube videos on the channel.
Yeah, it was really good.
So go. It was cool. There was a time when, like, a lot of Smash people were, like, trying out the game. I know Void was playing the game quite a bit. There was a big crew of them putting out stuff. It was awesome to see. But okay, should we talk a little bit about EU as well for April Cup? I feel like it's only fair. We talked about North America. Let's jump over to Europe. Man, I have just my recent Start GG tournaments list is just so unbelievably long that it takes me so long to get to the events I need to. I just open up too many events. Okay, April Cup, Europe.
Can I, real quick, the draft that I thought was one of the best ones that we saw for NAIC was Losers Finals Nemesis versus LG Game 1. And they just put them in a weird corner, and then Rex got to pick Sableye last, and they destroyed
them. That's why you liked it.
I mean, it was a great draft. Like, Zoinks and I looked at each other and was like, this is kind of crazy. And actually, the other thing is that it was such a good draft that I was hoping LG took the lesson from that, because JL is also an insane Sableye player, and there was a couple draft opportunities against Orange Team where LG could have leashed them into the same situation and then taken the Sableye at the end and been able to kind of destroy them. So I thought that was a really good draft, and just overall worth going back and looking at that draft specifically. Game 1 Losers Finals, it was really, really good. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. The meta was really interesting because I think we saw a lot of Umbreon, but I think we all expected even more Umbreon out of the teams, like a lot of wish healing Umbreon, which I think you talked about it a lot on broadcast, Dupes Nice, just like the ability to play like non-healing supports then. in the two. But yeah, to answer a few people from chat's questions, yes, our trio did come from Smash. She's like a really solid Smash player at her locals. And Zachary is still involved with Pokemon Unite. He actually commentates. He was one of the guest commentators at Worlds last year. I got to meet him. It was like the coolest thing ever. He is so good at the game. But this is a Pokemon Unite podcast, so if you don't know who Zachary is, an incredible Smash player, one of the best Japanese players ever to touch the game. Was like really, really good at the start of Ultimate. There's definitely a few players that kind of rose above him at this point, but he is still really solid. And he competed in Japan Regionals Year 1, but his teammate slept in, and then they didn't get to play in Regionals. They qualified for the Japan Regionals for, like, the World's Qualifier Tournament, and then Zachary's teammate slept in, and they didn't get to play. It was an absolute bummer. You hate to get alarm clock like that, but it did.
Yeah, I hate to see it.
All right. Yeah, no, Healthy Chatter is the best moment of my life. All right, here we go. Let's talk about EU in the April Cup. Yalabingo went on a decent run again, making it all the way to the Grand Finals. It was a dispatch ABC. I really do think one of the most two interesting things for me in the EU tournament, both winner semis being upsets on paper. Was pretty crazy to see the tournament start like that. And then, of course, Nouns Esports finally doing it. They win the tournament. The roster change pays off. They're Nouns Esports finally on top of Europe. Felt like we were going to be talking about them all season long. And we were, just not in the way I expected. So pretty crazy stuff there. Bridget, I know your wedding prep probably way too early in the morning to see any EU, but any thoughts on Nouns Esports finally getting a tournament win?
Yeah, I did have one. So I've been so busy, I feel like, during the past couple of regionals, so whenever I'm like not able to sit and watch all of it, I have my friend April just like messaging me in my DMs, like telling me what's happening at all times.
Yeah, there you go.
And so I'll never forget like her telling me like, Nouns reset the bracket, like, it's so close, like, Nouns is winning, like, oh my god, like, freaking out. We were like, whoa, they're doing it. So shout out my friend April for always giving me the
yeah,
game day.
Sideline reporter, so April, that's dope.
It's so clutch. She was the best. And I don't have to, like, click into a stream, go to the bracket, you know, it's so much work.
Oh, yeah, why do that when you just get the live play-by-play? That's sick. Good stuff.
So, even just, like, experiencing that, like, I wasn't, like, obviously able to watch it, really. So just, like, getting to hear about it through her and them being like, oh my gosh, like, Yala does not like a bracket reset, man. They, I feel like, go through winners and then they just, I don't know.
Yeah.
They, EU loves a bracket reset this season, I guess, in general.
I feel like NA's the same way. We've had so many bracket resets this year. It's pretty wild. Yeah, production hates us. But yeah. It happens
every time.
Like, I don't even know why we expect it to end. Oh, man. But how about you, Dupesnax? Any thoughts on EU's April Cup?
Yeah, I think it kind of, we'll see if my long range prediction, shakes out, which I'm pretty sure on our preview episode, I said something along the lines of, I think Nouns wins this month, but Tally Bobo has like the honeymoon phase for Nouns exists here in this moment. And Tally Bobo has the stronger regional performance, but the way that regionals is kind of set up, I think both teams are kind of categorically safe as long as they put together a decent performance.
Yeah.
So less relevant than maybe it could have been. But yeah, I mean, it was great to see Nouns win. Yalabingo needs to figure that out.
Right.
They need to figure that out because holy.
Dude, they almost lost to ABC, right? It was like an internal Hoopa save moment that sent them out of winners finals in the grands. Like, that was dangerous.
That is exactly what it was. So, Yalabingo clearly has some talent, clearly has some skill, is clearly able to compete in the region. But if they want to hope to buck the EU trend at Worlds of just absolutely flaming out, they need to turn it around. And I'm not convinced Nouns and Tally Bobo are there either. So they need to make sure that they're leveling up their game, because getting out of your region is just step one. Right. And for EU, it's getting to Worlds and not being an absolute like fish out of water. So we'll see.
Yeah, I am super interested in that as well. There was a few interesting meta things coming out of EU. Mostly, Buzzwole was still really hot in EU. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams really liked it. North America definitely had some fall off. South America in general. So like LATAM, both regions, and Brazil had a huge drop off in Buzzwole. But it was back in a major way. Also, Simp and I were talking on Twitter. I guess Poker put out the stats. I don't know what Brazil was doing with Mew, but that Pokemon was at an 8% win rate.
I feel like we do that every month. Like their number one Pokemon, Greedent, 92 win percentage over 48 games. And then like down at the bottom is the best Mon in the game with like a 2% win rate. Like, what is happening over here?
I don't know. Mew was just getting dusted every time. And yet again, Brazil just loves Sylveon and loves Chandelure. Those two Pokemon are just everywhere in their meta. And actually winning, which is pretty exciting. But yeah, anyway, we were talking a little bit about EU. Buzzwole sticking around is really, really interesting to me. Yeah, I think the Nouns Talibobo game was one of my favorite games over the weekend between North America and EU. Like, if you're going to go back and watch any games, because it felt like one of the most important games in the region. I mean, obviously, these were the players that had swapped and everything, so it's a bit of a grudge match in there. But, like, more than anything, it's just, like, these are potentially the top two teams in the region. Who's the pace car? Who needs to catch up? I don't know. It was really interesting to see, and I thought it was going to be a lot closer than it actually was. And now Z-Sports just really cleared. So I think, I don't know. I think my Nouns stonks from the beginning of the year are finally rising again. I had them 10th on the power rankings this time, the only EU team on there, and they won. So I'm feeling pretty okay about that. Nouns Z-Sports looking really good, but. Yeah. Any more thoughts on the April Cup as a whole? EU, North America, or any region whatsoever?
I'm good, I think.
All right. So.
Fair enough. Well, then we all know what time it is. It is now time to give away another Phalanx code. Happy Hundo Burger. Happy Hundo Burger. Of course, chat, again, we've been talking about it all day long. But if you want to answer the trivia question in chat, we'll be giving away the code to the first person who types in the correct response. A hint, our YouTube channel is a pretty good spot to hang out if you want a upper hand at these questions. Here's the question. Feel free to type in the answer as soon as you see it on screen. What team was interviewed on the first episode ever of Overdunk? This was 100 episodes ago, by the way. I did the math.
1,000 episodes.
Wow, good.
Yo!
Hey, that was quick.
Beamer swinging in with the immediate response. It was Team Shiny. It was Team Shiny and Feppy, Faz, and Retsu were on the squad. It's Pikachu!
Players that don't play anymore.
Yeah. Hey, Faz still plays sometimes.
Faz plays sometimes.
Yeah, give him a break.
When Muck needs him.
Yeah, that's true. I would say when Faz can convince Muck to play with him, Faz plays the game. I think that's what I'll do to describe it. But okay, congratulations, Beamer, on winning your Phalanx license code. And I think that's a great time to pivot our topic and start talking about that said Pokemon. Phalanx has entered the chat and, of course, our game. As Phalanx has finally released a Pokemon that I was so excited for as soon as it was announced, and I have to admit, it has absolutely lived up to my expectations. I have been in love with this Pokemon, and it feels like that is the general consensus. Dupesnax, I know you've gotten to play a couple of times with that Pokemon. How you feeling with the Phalanx?
It's great. I think Spraggle said on Twitter that it's like the best release that there's been in the game in a long time, and I completely agree. Mm-hmm. Power level feels good. Feels like there's good counterplay. It's, you know, especially solid because draft start its master rank. So like, you know, you can sandbag your jungle pick or bot attacker pick and really have a great way to counter specifically Phalanx that isn't like such a niche pick that puts you out in deep waters against anything else. A great release. And of course, flavor-wise, we've mentioned this ad nauseum. It's great, right? Oh, it checks all the boxes. Its scoring animation is hilarious. The way it moves on the map is hilarious. So I'm a big fan. Great release. Great release.
You've only been able to play it a couple times, I think, right? You were saying before, but do you have a specific moveset you really like rocking? It feels like one of those Pokemon that it... Like, yeah. It's really interesting of which one you choose. It very... It changes the gameplay pattern a lot with that Pokemon, which is cool.
No Retreat Megahorn to me looks the funniest, and that was my big motivation to just select it over and over again, was just, this is silly and stupid, and I love everything about this. So, No Retreat, let's get after it. That was my... really what pushed me in that direction. This is funnier. I like this one more.
Yeah. That's great. That's fun. I've a beat up Iron Head proponent myself. I think that is, I don't know, it's just fun to leave the little guys and they do their thing. I think that's awesome. Yeah. So personally, but I've also heard that like beat up Megahorn is kind of the wave now. I don't know. Maybe I'm off base, but I've heard it's pretty solid. I don't know. But I feel that is also a very cool thing about this Pokemon. It feels very unsolved, right? Like we all understand Megahorn do big damage, get secure good, right? Like that math has been done, but the flow chart is still there and blank spaces are on it. Like we are still learning what options we have out there, which is really, really cool. And I can't wait to see it more and more. Unfortunately, it's not going to be legal for regional qualifiers or regional finals because it's not legal for qualifiers, which is a huge bummer. But it is what it is. It'll only been out for like a week and a day or a week and 2 days or something. If you release it at that time, so it is what it is. But anyway, I think it's a super, super cool Pokemon. Bridget, how about you? I know you haven't gotten a chance to play with or against Phalanx, but just on paper and seeing the general community consensus, what are you thinking about this guy?
I've played a little. I'm still an ultra. We don't have to talk about that, but
Let me jump in to just kind of show some support for you. I got to master, but then I lost my first master's game, and because of how master's draft works at 1200, I was so much more mad at that than if I lost my winning into master's game. Like I was like, no.
Yeah, because it shuts down masters for you.
Well, it shuts down
draft. Or shuts down ranks. Draft. Excuse me, draft. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Right.
Shuts down draft.
But the worst
that
part
happened
about
to me. I was down to 1168. It was insane.
Okay.
I was like, what are we doing? Great. And I play with people. I play with people every time. I wasn't like solo queuing into Oblivion. I was like, please. It was with Draco. I was duo queuing with Draco. I was like, is happening?
Name Draco.
And they were like 1260. And I was right at 1200, and we both tanked to the point where like we couldn't get in the drafts. It was brutal.
Oh my!
Holy shit!
Holy crap! All right, stop the episode, Gamma. Oh my gosh!
Holy.
Thank you so much for your unbelievable generosity. For those listening and watching in Podcast Lander, Gamma, the absolute goat, has just gifted 100 subs to the community. So thank you so much, Gamma, for your generosity. Happy Hundo Burger to you.
Burgers in chat. Burgers in chat.
That's a lot of burgers.
Yeah, Hundo Burgers in chat. I know
burgers
every one of you has emotes now, so please put the Hundo Burgers
in
chat.
That's crazy.
Thank you so much. A reminder, everybody, every cent that goes towards the channel does go to charity at the end of the month, so it's part of our emote initiative, so thank you so much, Gamma, for helping support that and being an incredible, amazing part of our community. And Gamma, obviously the GOAT, got the call up to the official series and was your observer at EUIC and is going to be continuing to do so. So thank you. Thank you so much. But gosh, where were we? Phalanx, cool Pokemon. Oh, and then we were lamenting about how we lost so much that we lost draft. The worst part about that is when you're loading in, you still have like that little master's banner on like the top right-hand side. So everyone on your team is like, oh, so you're the reason we don't have draft. And I was like, oh. No.
I don't know for sure.
Well, I mean, if I got the little thing and we're not in draft, I mean, yeah, I guess that's true. We don't know for sure. Could be the enemy team, blah, blah, blah. But still,
yeah,
crazy
anybody.
Stuff. Yeah. But okay. Anyways, that was just for solidarity, Bridget. But anyways, how have you felt about the release of Phalanx?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like, I would agree, it's probably one of the best releases we've had in a while. Mm-hmm. I see people do crazy damage with it, but in the trenches of Ultra, I haven't been too oppressed by it, so it feels pretty, like, manageable. Even in Blind Pick with all the EX nonsense. So it seems fun. My friend I do it with a lot really loves it. And I was thinking what you said, Zoyce, it seems like all of the movesets are, like, compatible in, like, some way. Like, it's not like your game is totally ruined if you pick, you accidentally pick the move you don't want to. Like,
yeah, you could totally
Gengar,
mix and match. Gengar's the worst. I did that on my Ghost Ironmon challenge once. I was so mad. It's like, I'm
just run over immediately.
It's like Sludge Bomb Dream Eater. I'm like, this is so bad. They're like chasing me. I'm just throwing down sludge bombs. I'm like, no, go away, please. That's so bad.
I know. Oof. So I like that. I like that it has different synergies across its movesets. I think that's really cool. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just a funny little guy, so I love him.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, failings ban every draft. Yeah, that is an interesting conversation about how they do releases.
Imagine if it was turbo broken.
For sure. I really interested. Like, I played a lot. The only other competitive games I played a decent amount of competitive games quite a bit. But Overwatch treats this in an interesting way, right? Where the Pokemon is banned from ranked for like a couple of weeks. But you can play it as much as you want in casual or quick matches or whatever it is. So there's even like playlists where you could play like only that Pokemon, you know, like so you have like or character or whatever, you get it. It would be interesting if we were to see something like that. But yeah, I think we're all super happy with the Phalanx release. We've already said a couple of our favorite movesets. I know the only like negative feels like on that Pokemon is the Unite move. It's just, it's not doing as much damage as it feels like it could be doing. And then you just kind of get choke slammed whenever you jump in there with your Unite move if you go in too deep. But
that's okay, right? Like,
yeah, that's true. Fine. Yeah.
Like, not everything needs to be a go button. And Phalanx right now, into good compositions, has great damage output for what it's doing. It has good counterplay. And it just does, like, the Unite, like, could it be tuned up? Yeah, maybe a little. But it could also be a thing, like, if you gas up the Unite move out of nowhere, then all of a sudden it becomes this hyper-oppressive, like, miserable thing. Yes. So, like, who cares? Like, it's an Unite move kind of sucks. Like, there's plenty of Pokemon like that. Like, who cares? Like, the Sableye Unite move. Dog water. Absolute garbage. Like, you have to wait 4 seconds for it to trigger and everybody has to be looking at you to get a reset. And then if literally anything on the map farts on it, like, it stops, terrible Unite move. Ugh. But, like, it's okay because it does other trolly shit everywhere else. Like, that's fine. It's all right.
The Sableye agenda emerges again. I don't know how we got here, but here we are. No, I totally agree. The only thing I brought it up for is because... I find there's a few Pokemon like that, where their Unite move is a little lackluster, and so their job in endgame team fights becomes a little boring, because you can't use the Unite move to be aggressive, or you can, but it just, you get punished really hard. So instead, sometimes Phalanx's most optimal play is to leave the team fighting up to the team and just be like that secure insurance, which doesn't feel fun, it doesn't feel like it's promoting Phalanx. However... I don't know if that's, like, really true about how Phalanx operates. It's probably got more variety in it, but yeah. Anyway, I think in total, we all love Phalanx. He's great. So let's give away another code. I mean, we've already been going an hour. Let's give away another Phalanx code. Chat,
only
we keep
6 hours left.
Chat, we have people jumping into chat, like, kind of constantly, so I just want to explain it one more time. This is a piece of Unite Mike's trivia. The first person to answer it correctly in chat will receive a Phalanx code to use in-game and earn the license. So, as soon as you see it on screen, feel free to type in the answer. What does Zoinks, me, claim the Overdunk podcast is in the intro of every episode?
Did you do it in this episode?
I did, actually. Level 7, I did not. I don't know if that was an answer to me or the chat. I claim the podcast to be this. This might be a big stretch. We'll have to see if people can actually find it.
I actually thought this was
going to be the easiest one.
Ooh, a
I
minor?
I thought this was the easiest one.
I do. Ooh, number one competitive Unite podcast is very close. Do we just give it to Smim? It's very close.
I think that's very close.
That was pretty close.
Your favorite competitive Unite podcast is it that actually is. But Dextro, you already got one.
Dextro already won.
You already did. Yeah. Christine, you are now banned. Gemma, please remove your sub. Gift the sub for Christine. Thank you so much. it is your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. Dex, Smim will give it to you. Dextro, you already won a code. Well, maybe you have a chance to win one later. I like it a lot. Yes, it is your favorite competitive Pokemon podcast. Okay, our next topic that I feel like we have to talk about, even though we are way too late to talk about it, is the next EX Pokemon coming to the game. It is rumored to be Ho-Oh, which it just probably is. EX license Defender has a res mechanic. We're not exactly sure how it'll look. How we feeling? Just gauging the community. I know there was a lot of people reacting extremely negative to it. A lot of content creators, obviously, because we've been around this horn before. However, you go into the comment sections of every one of those videos and people are like, oh, dope. I love Ho-Oh. Oh, so cool. I'm so excited. And it's like, oh, okay. So like, I see what they're doing. So, okay, where are we at, Ridget? How are you feeling about an EX Defender with Ho-Oh being added to the game?
I'm just so tired of Defenders.
Yeah.
I was complaining about it last time.
That is true.
And then I saw this, and I'm like, they're taunting me. They're making fun of me. Like, just make it a support. But it kind of is, right?
Like, it's got, like, a healing passive, it looks like. A res feels very supporty. Like, yeah.
Right. I'm just like, just slap the thing on it. But that's not the point. I didn't really look like too. I didn't like watch the leak videos like too intensely, so I pretty much know what Zoink said. Like, there's a res feature. Everyone's saying it's turbo broken. Yada yada yada.
If it was if it was translated correctly, it is not a good thing.
Yeah, that is the information I've gathered, and I just feel like any time from now on, if they say we're getting another EX license. Bad. Like, auto bad. Like,
we've been hurt before. And we've been hurt every time. So it's not like there's any precedent of good EX licenses yet. So why would we be happy? Like, you know? Oh, man. Right. I don't know. Okay. Let me jump in on the Ho-Oh discourse. I'm not optimistic about it. We went through Mewtwo, which I think was probably the worst time in Unite. Release Zacian was bad, but I feel like it was also because Comfey was right around that time. It was just a kind of a collapse of everything. It was awful. But Mewtwo was just another evil, I think. That was really tough. Maridon, it was awful for like the mid-level to lower level of play. Higher level play, I feel like there was some counters to it, but it was still just atrocious. I don't know. Ho-Oh, I just have no big expectations for. If EX Pokemon ever make it to draft and make it to competitive mode, I don't think Ho-Oh ever sees the light of day. I think that thing is a must ban. If they get a team-wide res and your team doesn't, that seems wild to have to play into. I don't know. So, I don't know. I want to be hopeful, but we've just been smacked on the head by this too many times to be hopeful. So that's kind of where I'm at. How about you, Dupesnax?
Yeah, I have no faith in them to be able to release an EX that isn't broken. So, I mean, to your point, there's been no positive record of them being able to successfully release one in terms of its power level, like the success, you know, depends how you measure that metric, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to get gassed up about it. I'm not going to get upset about it. Prove us wrong. Like, prove us wrong that you can do it. Please, once. Just once.
I will say, Maridon still sucked, but didn't feel as bad as the others.
For sure.
So maybe...
Right. Maybe that is absolutely true, right? It's like a personal best, but it's still way in the negative. You know what I mean? Like, we're on the up. I agree with you, though, Bridget. I don't think Maridon was the same level as Zacian or Mewtwo. I don't. But I really just... Ho-Oh looks so strong. Just on paper and what those words mean, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, that's our Ho-Oh Discord. Should we give it away another Phalanx code?
What?
How about a Phalanx code, everybody? All right. Okay, this one I feel might be the easiest one, but we'll have to see. Depends on how much Unite Mike's historians we have in chat. Here we go. Answer this trivia question right. We will put you on the list to get a free Phalanx code. Unite Mike's played a role-playing game on the YouTube channel for what holiday? All three of us were playing this game, by the way. It is not Pikachu Dextro. Very good guess. Minor DG gets it correct with the answer of Halloween. We played the game Kids on Bikes, and they all played. Minor absolutely guessed. No way. Let's go. Okay, Minor, make sure they're on the list, Bridget, so we can get them that Phalanx code. You already got it? Beauty.
Yep, I'm on it.
All right. Let's give away the last one, too, shall we? Should we just jump into the next one?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. We just have one more topic tonight, and then a very special Hundo Burger t-shirt giveaway at the end of the night. So we got to get to that. But all right, the final Phalanx code. Chat, it's your last chance to win one of these with one last piece of trivia. This one's a bit subjective, but here we go. It is going to be, who is his Overdunk's biggest fan? I don't know. Is anybody getting this? Gamma is not. Kind of feels like maybe it is Gamma now.
Yeah. Me, I'm 6.
April got it correct with Bridget's mom. Let's go. There is no way April actually gets it correct with the Bridget's mom answer. That is so dope. All right, April from sideline reporter to
Dextro
trivia.
Also silently crushing this trivia, also putting in Bridget's mom.
Probably
just like
the highest score.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Dextro's killing it out here, by the way. That's awesome. Okay, y'all, thank you so much for playing the trivia. We got 6 unique winners, which is pretty dope. I mean, Dextro winning every single time, but very, very cool. Thank you, everybody, for playing that one. Reminder, at the end of the podcast, which is coming up very soon, we are going to be doing, it'll probably just be a raffle in chat, but we are going to be giving away one Hundo Burger t-shirt as well. So make sure to stick around until the end. And if you are listening to this on YouTube or on the podcast, go over to YouTube, leave a comment about what your favorite thing about watching the Unite Championship Series is, and we will choose 3 winners out of the YouTube comments to win Phalanx licenses as well. Okay. Final topic, everybody, of course, is this upcoming weekend, is regionals for every region that TPCI runs. It's going to be OC, EU, NA, LATAM, North and South, and Brazil. And it's going to be very, very big tournament. Of course, it is the qualifiers of the first weekend to get to top 16, and then group stage, and then a top 8. And we'll know the vast majority of the world's competitors within 2 weeks, which is crazy to be thinking about. But let's just have some generic conversation about regionals up and coming. Dupesnacks, I know you play with like a lot of like top level players. You're always trying to get in stacks, you know, go and play in in-houses and things like that. What's the general energy? Are people locked in? Are people scrimming quite a bit? Like what's the feel out there from the top players?
So there's been a lot of interesting conversations about folks that can't make it to NAIC just because of work stuff. So you're seeing a lot of these teams where players have kind of fallen by the wayside, getting some opportunities to get some practice in, like, you know, like Barn, for example, players like Relent, you know, a lot of support and tanks getting some call ups to get some practice in. And then you have, you know, of course, teams trying to throw their hat in the ring for the final time, like GT's trying to scrap it out, right? Figure out their squad, get another person added. So the teams that are dialed in and locked in, I feel like have a very high confidence level. And I think everybody else is still just kind of teetering on the razor's edge.
Okay. Yeah. It feels, the NA scene definitely feels very interesting. We're going to have some new looks come regionals, I think. It was very, very true. Bridget, what are you looking forward to now that we're seeing regionals? Are you looking forward to some teams, just some, see where the regions are at competitively, new Pokemon? I mean, metagame still feels pretty wide open.
Yeah, I feel like I saw, correct me if I'm wrong, but was Nouns was running like Trick Hoopa and stuff sometimes.
Yeah,
too,
one of the only teams to really like believe in Trick Hoopa.
Yeah,
that was off an Umbreon game, I think.
For sure. Like, I know we played the most recent patch on the most previous regionals as well, but that was, like, coming out of EUIC and all of, like, the team scrambles, so mm-hmm. now that everyone's kind of gotten a little more, like, settled and established, at least, like you were saying, those more top locked-in teams, it makes sense. I'm excited to see, like, how... It does kind of feel like the top four, at least for NA and EU, are kind of locked in, or at least have been pretty consistent despite the shifts and everything. So I'm excited to see how it like shakes out this weekend. I'm just kind of excited to see more Unite. I love seeing Blaziken. I feel like Nax is also playing a lot of Blaziken, so I've been enjoying that kind of getting more popularity in the West. I know
it's
Eastern
cool.
teams really like it.
Yeah, they really do. It's cool. Fun. I mean, in the East, Blaziken is almost exclusively jungle, right? Like, when we see it emerge in games. However, the West still kind of believing in the Blaziken top lane, which is pretty sweet. Mostly just NA are still in the Blaziken top lane department. EU is mostly putting it central as well, but it's interesting. Gyarados feels really good. I know teams have been cooking with some interesting picks, like, Aegislash has been kind of seeing some little sparks here and there. Some teams picking it up. I see people in chat mentioning Dragonite as well. I mean, East really just put that on the map of why it's so strong, right? So it's finally emerging in Gamma with the 101th gifted sub of the chat. Jeez. Thank you so much, Gamma. The incredible generosity. But yeah, some pretty crazy stuff out there. I'm pretty psyched for regionals, obviously. It's wild that this is going to be so many teams' last tournament of the season, right? I feel like it's just flown by this time around, this Unite Championship Series. Obviously, regionals is going to conclude for almost every region, and then there'll be about a month break, and then North America will play their top eight in person in New Orleans, and then there'll be a slight other break, and then we will make it back to Worlds. So it's going to be kind of a staggered end of the season, but still wild to think we're almost at the end for teams that, you know, spend so much time competing and putting their energy towards Unite Championship Series. Kind of crazy to think about.
It's banana lands. I feel like this season has absolutely flown by. Like the tempo and like pacing from one event to a next didn't feel like there was a lot of downtime. And I don't know if it's, I can't even recall if it's necessarily different from last year. But it felt fast. I don't know if it was roster mania. I don't know if it was like a more live events that
we
like
lost
small
the tournament,
world,
right?
Yeah, so lost makeup, makeup.
We didn't have January this year either, did we?
Well, we've never had January, but we don't have May finals, which I think we used to have.
Bridget, we never had January.
Sue me.
How dare you? hey, happy Hundo Burger. We'll have no hate on Hundo Burger Day. It's just our holiday.
Yeah. Me and my 8-bit camera, don't come for me.
You messaged, I didn't even notice the whole episode, but I'm never looking at our cam, so it's okay. Well, okay. Well, honestly, I can't wait for the regional qualifiers. It's going to be so, so fun to watch these teams compete. If you are listening to this podcast and you are not competing in the regional qualifiers this upcoming weekend, I'd really like recommend just try it out. I mean, the top 16 teams make it into the group stage. It feels like the perfect time just to throw together a team, try out a competitive esports event. It's a really good spot to do it. If you lose two games in a row, you already get to quit. It's fine. But otherwise, you just get to have fun playing Unite in a competitive setting. I think it's a great tournament to sign up for and give a shot at. And if you like it, next year you can really hit the grindstone and try to compete, which would be really awesome. But I don't know. I think that's kind of all I had to talk about on tonight's episode. Either of you two have anything else you'd want to bring up before we close out?
I guess let's get this shirt raffle going.
All right. Yeah, that of course.
Is that going to be a timed one?
I'll put that on right now. Okay.
Don't have a trivia question.
No trivia question for this one. So chat, all you have to do is put exclamation mark join in the chat. Do that now. Within, in, I think it's set for 3 minutes. So sorry, we have to vamp for 3 minutes here. But if you win, you win a Hundo Burger T-shirt, which we'll be able to send to you wherever your
large,
address is.
Size large.
Size, if that's relevant for, size for, large. For, yeah. For but even if you can't wear it, you could just like hang it up. It's a very cool novelty item, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's pretty sweet. Answer is not seven tuba. I am so sorry. And Beamer, you can still enter. Okay, dude, you did enter. Good. I was like, you can still enter even if you want a Phalanx code. Don't worry. But yeah, type exclamation mark join. Thank you so much for the announcement, Gamma. But yeah. While that is going on, by the way, I just wanted to say thank you so much. Bieber was putting in chat that they just rewatched the Team Shiny interview, like literally the first episode of Overdunk the other day. So thank you so much. Like, the support for the community for Overdunk over the literal years now has been incredible. It's been awesome. It's been so much fun to make. 100 episodes is crazy. Happy Hundo Burger. Pretty wild to think about. Mostly that you all stuck around for a podcast that most people think the name of it is just the Unite Mics podcast. So thank you so much for sticking around despite that.
What this channel has like started off as, what it's become, obviously, as we kind of reached our goal, right, with the channel.
Yeah, we did.
In its original intention, it made it a little bit easier to pivot. But I mean, I didn't think it would get this far, to be quite honest, right? I literally, in my mind, was the sole purpose of having a portfolio of cast games to be able to get opportunities to officially cast. And that kind of totally worked out. So the fact that this is now 100 episodes in on a podcast is absolutely insane. And all credit in the world to Zoinks for really being the captain of this ship, right? I mean, Overdunk is certainly not my baby, so... big shouts to Zoinks and of course Bridget to actually give us a real player on the podcast that can actually game because I was the best support player. I can't believe I'm the second best support player on a podcast on the channel I run. But
that's
here we
true.
Are.
There was an era where Ender was on as well, which also sent you down
the
tier
list. Yeah, I was just saying, I've catched an elf.
Huge thank you to everyone who's guested on the podcast and everything like that. But honestly, one of the biggest thank yous in the world to Ven, who was a longtime co-host of the show as well. We were planning on having like a bunch of guests on, of course. And of course, Ven was one of those people we reached out to for this episode. Unfortunately, I was just trying to juggle too many things at once and have too many people on. And so didn't quite work out. But seriously, a gigantic thank you to her and everything she contributed to the show for many, many episodes. And yeah, all the guests, I think Sneaky Seal still sitting at the top of most common guest on the show. I don't think anyone's usurped that title quite yet. But yeah, thank you to everybody for supporting the show constantly. It's been really cool. Bridget, your favorite mod? Yeah, that's true. Bridget, are you a mod in this one too? I forget. We did mod you. Good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember because we couldn't figure out the raffles at the beginning and we just needed somebody? Like, and Bridget was like, you are an idiot. I can do this. It's not hard. And I was like, well, what do you... It's pretty hard.
Yeah.
Bridget's like, Snacks, low-key, you are... And I was like, all right, okay.
That was not me. That was not me.
On an alt account, it was Bridget.
That was the Manhattan Bridge, without a doubt. That was the Manhattan Bridge, without a doubt.
Manhattan Bridge, yeah, that's a whole different monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gamma's Canadian, I'm Canadian, Doobsnacks is Canadian, Bridget's American.
Sorry, guys.
Unfortunate, yeah. Canada does exist.
I'm new.
Strong, yeah. I do live in the States, but I am Canadian. Got the old green card. It's broken. It's a good strat.
My green card was pink. Is yours pink?
No, mine is actually green.
That's wild. My green card when we moved here was pink.
That's hilarious. Okay, I just thought about this. Podcast probably doesn't need to hear all this. So thank you, everybody, for tuning into this episode of Overdunk. Happy Hundo Burger, and here's the Hundo Burger more as we get ready for episode 200. And, of course, regionals this weekend. I can't frickin' wait. We'll see you all there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in Overdunk, and we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.